Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Farrell Shepherd of the Island Ford Baptist Church right here in Madisonville, Kentucky, welcoming you to another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. This broadcast is for Friday, February the 12th. Today happens to be the birthday of Ethan Schroeder. Hope you'll keep Ethan in your prayers, that today might be a special day for him on this February 12th. So happy birthday, Ethan. Hope you have a good one. Also, I'd like to mention that I'm not here in person, as you know, that I've mentioned that my wife and myself and some of the young people in the church are gone to the state capitol today. They're having the Christian at the Capitol Day. They're in Frankfort, Kentucky, and so we're there in that meeting that they're having there, and hopefully representing Christianity and Christians, letting our government officials know that Christians are interested in what's going on in our state government and state capitol. So I hope that you'll pray for us while we're gone. Pray that God give us safety as we travel there and travel back, and that the Lord just bless and help and have his way. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on the broadcast getting prepared today. I'm going to try to spend more time in the preaching because I've got some ground to cover, and I want to get it finished up today, the thought that I've got for today, and I hope that it'll be something that'll be helpful and used by the Lord. I believe it will, and so I hope that you'll stay tuned and listen to that. Let me do say, if you will, pray for us and pray for the broadcast. God would use it. Keep Brother and Sister Hall in your prayers, and those that we're praying for that are suffering from afflictions and problems, that we might remember them in prayer as well. So, if you will, go with us to the Lord in prayer at this time. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for your goodness, grace, and mercy in our life. I want to thank you, Lord, for being the good God that you are. And Lord, I'm glad that you hear us when we call. And Father, I want to thank you that you're a prayer hearing and answering God. As I said on Wednesday night to our congregation, thinking about how prayer works. And I was thinking about the fact that so many other religions, almost every other religion, they believe in praying, but they don't pray like we do because they're not talking to their God. They're just repeating a prayer, a memorized or a recited thing, just a routine, and just by rote. They're just saying it over and over. And one of the reasons I said for that is because what's the use of talking to somebody that can't hear you? What's the use of talking to somebody that can't answer you? But I'm glad we've got a God that hears us. We can communicate. Communication's not one way. Communication means it goes both ways. We can talk to him. He can talk to us. You say, preacher, does he ever speak to you audibly? Oh, he talks to me much better than audibly. He makes it more clear than if a person did speak audibly. Amen. He can impress my heart. He can impress my mind. And he can make his way known. I'm glad he does. But he doesn't just hear prayer, but he answers prayer. And I'm so grateful. And so I'm thankful unto thee, Lord, that you do that. And Father, I pray that you would bless now this prayer. Use it for your glory and honor. Father, I pray you help this broadcast. Father, we want to see sinners saved. We want to see the saints strengthened. We'd love to see revival across our land. And I believe that it'll only come through prayer and believing thee. Father, I pray move in our nation, move in our nation's capital, move in our state capital, move in our own local business meetings and government meetings and our local church meetings. Father, I pray you bless our homes, our families, to be what you want us to be. Bless in this message as we try to talk about the characteristics of godly leadership. And Lord, I pray you bless Brother and Sister Hall, meet the needs of those that are suffering, Brother Franklin, Brother Owens, and the different ones, my son-in-law Drew, the problems that they're facing. Lord, would you strengthen them? These unspoken requests that have been mentioned, would you meet those needs? Would you help us about the finances here at the station and the finances that we might be able to see something advanced there in Paris and McKenzie area. Lord, that you just have your way in all that. Get the glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, I appreciate you praying with us. If you'd like to look in the scripture, we're going to be looking at Titus chapter number 1 and verse number 8. Also, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 2. And we'll be right back after this song with the message from the Word of God. All right, well, I guess you noticed that that was not our family as I normally play on the program, but I just felt like that with today being the Christian at the Capitol Day, that I would play that song there by the Steels, We Want America Back. And it is time that God's people take a stand for that which is right. I'm telling you, the ungodly are taking a stand. They're lifting up their voice. They're lifting up their hand, and they're being recognized and known. And it is time for God's people to stand up. I'm not talking about being belligerent and being mean and ugly, but I am talking about taking a stand for that which is right. Amen. Well, we're looking at our characteristic for today. We've got 20 characteristics of godly leadership that we've been dealing with here on the broadcast. And today's broadcast, I'm dealing with the fourth one, as we've looked already at 3 before this. We looked at the fact of being spiritually mature is a great need in this leadership ability that we're looking for. Also, a good reputation is greatly needed. And then moral purity. And now we're looking at vigilance, or I said a balanced life, living a balanced life. And I mentioned that we're using the word in Titus chapter number 1 and verse number 8. The Bible said, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate. And then 1 Timothy chapter number 3, verse 2, a bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, there's our word, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. And I mentioned to you that that word, vigilant, is translated, this particular Greek word, is Strong's number 3524, and it means sober, or figuratively circumspect. And it actually is translated sober every other time that it's translated in the King James Bible. But they use the word sober the next one after this. And so this word's not dealing with, especially the way we think of sober, as being not given a strong drink, but rather it means level-headed. It means somebody that's not losing their cool, somebody that is in control of their own spirit. So we used that first thought on the message yesterday on sobriety. Today I want to look at the thought of being steady, and I'm still under this thing of vigilance, being level-headed or having a balanced life. In the Apostle Paul's letter to Titus, he uses the word temperate to describe the quality he's looking for. And according to Webster's 1828 Dictionary of the English Language, the word temperate means, quote, moderate, not excessive, or extravagant. It simply means that the godly leader is one who does not jump to conclusions or one who goes to extremes. Our world is a chaotic place. Seems to be ever changing, but our God is one who changes not, and His Word never changes. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, the Bible says, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Hebrews 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Hallelujah. Psalm 119, verse 89, forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven. Now, in many homes, children have to wonder each day if Daddy is still going to be in love with Mama, or if Mama is still going to be in love with Daddy. They shouldn't have to wonder if the preacher is going to be using a different book from Sunday to Sunday, or if he's going to be preaching a quote-unquote new way to heaven, other than repenting of your sin and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, they should have some stability in their life, especially when it comes to godly leadership. Now, they need a mom and a daddy that's stable. Amen. We need presidents that's stable. We need senators that are stable. We need representatives that are stable. We need sheriff and sheriff deputies and police officers and school teachers and businessmen. We need people that are steady. Amen. But at the same time, we especially need a steady man in the pulpit. We need some steady deacons. We need some steady godly ladies in our church as well. Amen. Now, here's one of the ways that God illustrates the need for temperance in our life. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 9 and verse number 24 down through verse number 27. Paul says it very well under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Here's what he says. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. You see, the apostle is dealing with the athletic temperance, uses that word in verse number 25. Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. So he's talking about athletic temperance, which causes people to abstain from things that hinder them. And they diligently apply themselves to things that help them in their sport. He uses the application to speak of the fact that anyone who wishes to be a spiritual leader should be careful how he lives and what he allows to influence his life. Now, let me use that illustration and just go into it just a moment. This athletic idea, when a person, for example, is running a race, that's how he talked about running. He's not talking about driving a car in a race. He's talking about physically running, moving your feet, and running in the race, foot race. He says that when a person does that, they're careful what they eat. They don't overeat. They are not only careful in not eating too much, they're careful of not eating the wrong things, and then they're careful of eating the right things. In other words, they want to put the vitamins and the minerals and the nourishments back into the body to nourish the cells, to build up their body, to strengthen their body. They may even strap weights around their ankles or around their wrists to weight them down so that when those weights are removed, then they feel freer and they've built up muscles. They've built up resistance to those things. Well, he's saying that if we're going to be a godly leader, we need to apply the same thing. In other words, we need to be careful what we allow into our life. There are a lot of things people are allowing into their mind that's not going to help them in leadership. Matter of fact, it's going to hurt them. They're allowing things into their eyes that's going to hurt them. They're allowing things into their ears that's going to hurt them. They're allowing things to come out of themselves, out of their mouth, and out of their actions that are going to hurt them in leadership. Amen. And so we need to be careful what we allow in, how we conduct ourselves. Amen. Now, this does not mean that we can never change our opinion about doctrines and such, but it means that we're not quick to change. He talks about being steady here, being steady. Well, not that we can never change, but that we are not quick to change. Our change must only come through much study and thought and prayer. We should not be quick to change. You know, there are some people that it seems like they change with the wind. They change with the calendar. I mean, just flip the page and they're changed. Things are different. It shouldn't be that way. We ought to stand our ground. We ought to find out what we believe and stand on it. Amen. And so then the second thing I want to talk about today, which is the third in this point, I've talked about being vigilant, being sober, and being steady. Now I want to look at the word strong. Again, Titus 1:8, the word used here is temperate. It's Strong's number 1468, and it means strong in a thing, masterful. That is figuratively self-controlled. Amen. You see, it gives the idea of someone who is being settled in their beliefs and their opinions. You see, I find it very amusing and amazing to me that, just for example, look at the political world. And just to prove to you that I'm not just trying to play politics on what's going on today, look way back at years ago when, for example, when a man by the name of Bill Clinton first ran to be governor of the state of Arkansas, did you know he was pro-life? He was against abortion. He changed very quickly because he realized that get on the public stage, I'm talking about a national stage in the Democratic Party, you can't be pro-life. Matter of fact, the candidate he chose to be his running mate for vice president, as he chose to be president, he chose a man by the name of Albert Gore from the state of Tennessee. Al Gore Jr. Al Gore Jr. was pro-life until he decided to run for president himself, even before Bill Clinton got in the race. And then later, he became the vice presidential candidate. But he had been pro-life. Then all of a sudden, and they like to call it pro-choice. It's not pro-choice. By the way, they call themselves pro-choice and us anti-choice. No, we believe in choices. Amen. You have the choice. You have the choice of either having the baby and keeping it or having the baby and giving it away. And people say, well, shouldn't I have the choice of killing it? No, because that's murder. You don't have the choice of murder. That's not a choice. That's a crime. Amen. But they say, well, they're pro-choice. Well, Bill Clinton and Albert Gore Jr., both of those men, decided to become pro-choice in order to gain a following. They changed their opinion. Did that change anything? Listen, Hillary Clinton today, she believes that you ought to be able to kill your baby till the moment that it's born. I'm telling you, we're living in a sad day. And Mr. Trump, I recognize that he's running on the Republican Party, and he's saying now that he's against abortion, but not too long ago, he was declaring the fact that he was not against abortion, but rather was for the woman's quote-unquote right to choose. And what I'm saying is people change. I remember back when John Kerry ran years ago, they talked about the flip-flop. People started holding up flip-flops because he said he was against it before he was for it. And just got so confused. Well, listen, preachers and people ought not live like politicians that just change with the whims, that just change with the wind. Amen. As they say, just, you know, lick your finger and hold it up in there and see which way the wind's blowing to decide which way you're going to go. Oh, no. We need to be strong. We need to be steady. Amen. We need to be settled on what we believe and what our opinions are. I believe that God's teaching us that one who is to be a godly leader should not only be one who knows where he stands, that's sobriety, but is steady, that is stable in his stand. But I believe it also ought to be a man or a woman who can withstand those who oppose them and those who disagree with them. You see, there are going to be those who are in opposition to the Bible. Amen. Amen. They're going to arise, and these things that pass for science and education and even religion that's against the Bible. But the godly leader must not be swayed and must not be staggered by what the scientist says, nor what the educator says, or what the religious professor says. We must stand firm on what the Bible says. Amen. Now, I know sometimes people get carried away with these things and say, well, you know, we gotta dig up these excavations to prove the Bible true. Oh, no, the Bible's true. I don't need somebody to dig up something to prove it true. I know it's true. Amen. But listen, if they make a true scientific discovery, they'll find out the Bible is true. Amen. You see, Paul warned the preacher that people would not endure sound doctrine and rather would turn away their ears from the truth. But he told Timothy nonetheless, 2 Timothy 4, 1 and 2, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Amen. Friend, it looks like Paul expected Timothy to stand fast upon the scriptures, no matter what the people did, no matter what the people said. Amen. And friend, that's exactly what you and I ought to do. Paul warned the Christian in Ephesians chapter number 6 that we are in a spiritual battle. He informed us that it is our duty. Here's what he said, Ephesians 6, 10 through 13. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to, what? To stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. I preached a message some years ago. I titled it, Standing Room Only. Amen. Now, I've never been privileged to preach to a congregation that all the seats were taken and that there was only standing room. But I'm telling you, the day we're living, there ain't no time to take a seat. There's no place to take a seat. We need to be standing. Our homes need spiritual leaders that are sober about the issues facing us today. We need parents and grandparents and preachers who are steady in their teaching of what God's Word says. We need strong leadership that will not flinch or flounder, but will stand firm and steadfast against the winds and the waves of apostasy and evil that threaten our families, our nation, and our churches today. 1 Peter 5, verses 8 and 9. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 57 and 58. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Thank you for listening.